Right. So, good morning, church.
Morning.
Now, I use that word, thank you for answering that, I use that word on purpose. Because sometimes in the world, we look and go, what use is the church? What good is the church? Do we actually need the church? And I want to read out of the Message translation a couple of verses. Out of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, if you're following along in your own Bibles. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised Christ from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. I love this phrase. I love how Eugene Peterson translates it this way. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. Now, we look around and we look at the church and it feels like it's under the world. We feel like and we think that it's being overpowered by the world. It may appear that way, and news will never say anything different because it's all world. But the scriptures say, the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church, meaning the church is more important than the world. That's what he's saying, because Jesus Christ is over the world. He is in charge of everything, and including this world. So the world can't overpower Christ, who works through the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. The presence of Jesus Christ. I appreciate, Cody, the way you led worship this morning in focusing on Jesus. On focusing on Jesus. I'm reading a fascinating book right now. I'm not sure if I agree with it all, but there's some interesting points in it. It's called The Invisible Jesus. The Invisible Jesus. And the authors are talking about many who are deconstructing their faith. You know some people, you've seen people, you've maybe talked to some people, that are deconstructing their faith. But these particular authors are after a group of people and are talking to a large number of people that are not deconstructing their faith so much as they're looking at Jesus, and then they're looking at the church, and then they're looking at Jesus, and they're looking at the church. I'm not seeing Jesus in the church. I'm seeing a church, but I'm not seeing Jesus in the church. Just let that think for a while, maybe for the next week. Let that just percolate in there. Last week I talked about our church is unique. Our church is unique within the universal church of Jesus Christ. In its personality, in its calling and purpose, in its gifting. We are a very unique church. Just like a snowflake, a fingerprint, our DNA, this church is unique. God was the creator, he is the creator, and he continues to create. He didn't stop creating back in Genesis 1, whenever that was. He continues to create. And You and I were created on purpose for a purpose. Repeat that after me. I was created on purpose for a purpose. One more time. I was created on purpose for a purpose. Do you believe that?
Yes.
The answer is yes. Yes. Work with me here a little bit. And our church is created on purpose for a purpose. Say that. Our church was created on purpose for a purpose. We got to understand that. We got to see that Jesus is doing incredible work in you and me personally and in our church. When Jesus said he would build the church, what did he really mean by that? What did he really mean when Jesus said, and I believe it's in the Bible, where it says, I will build my church. You know, you got the four Gospels that are just kind of running through. I think it's Matthew 16. Don't quote me on that. But he says, I will build my church. What did he mean? We see in Acts, when you read, and in your Bibles, he says, the Acts of the Apostles. I recently read somewhere, it says, it's actually the Acts of Jesus. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you read Acts. It's just Jesus continuing on through the church, but he's still the Acts of Jesus. I'm going, that's fascinating, because you see Jesus all the way through up until 2026. You see him working. We see how the church is put together, and it's a simple gathering of people, a church, a simple gathering of people in various cities and places. Was it meant to be, trick question, was the church meant to be an organization? Well, no, and sort of yes. Because anytime you pull people together, you kind of have to be organized. You ever tried to herd cats? Like, you can't herd cats. I love cats, but you can't herd cats. And that's what happens with people. If you don't organize them, they just go everywhere and everywhere. That's just who we are. We are. But we got to have some sort of leadership to kind of move the body, the all of us together. The church, let me throw another thought at you. The church is not a democracy either. The church is not a democracy either. Well, I'm giving you a lot of things to think about this next week. When people met Jesus, they were placed into groups of people. There was a 12, then there was a 72, and then there was 120, 500, as we read in the Gospels, and he put them all together and he got them organized. But especially when we get into Acts, as Jesus continues to build the church, he's putting them in groups. That's the whole point. I love it. It's called Simple Gatherings. I love that name. Too bad somebody else has got that name. But Simple Gatherings is what it is. Now, go with me to the Bible in Hebrews chapter 10. Now I'm going to read some verses that is often misunderstood or misquoted. I won't go into the misquoting and what some people do wrong. I'm going to show you what it really says. Verse 23, Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold tightly, say that, hold tightly. Hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate, say motivate, motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Now stop right there. That's what we're to do. We're to hold on to the hope of Jesus, and we're to encourage, motivate, move people to do great works. And it's one of the things that I love about our church. We do all of that. We work on that together. We continue to go. Yes. But let's go to this next verse. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. Now, let's sit there for a little bit. What does it say? You and I probably have heard, don't stop going to church. Show up at church. You need to be in church. That's what we hear or read when we read this verse. Now, that's true to an extent. Come to church. You need to be in church. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But what the author of Hebrews is saying, like, we're talking about hope and we're talking about motivating, so let's keep meeting together. That's how we keep motivating each other. That's how we continue to affirm hope and encourage hope and help each other. So let's not stop meeting. It's not a command as much as it's an invitation and a challenge. Let's be together. Because if you're not, then it's hard to hold on to that hope and it's hard to motivate. Now, to you online, I'm glad you're watching. But many times you need to be here. You're invited here. Right? Because when we're here together enjoying great coffee and having some good snacks and all the just being together is what helps us. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, just be together. Hang out together. Encourage each other. That's what you need. And he goes on. Next verse. But encourage one another. Encourage. Especially now as the day of his return is drawing near. Encourage each other. Affirm the hope. Motivate to good deeds. Encourage. And you can't do that when you're not here. So that's what he's talking about, is putting that all together to be together. That's the point. The main purpose of the church is to help each other in growing their relationship with Jesus. How to follow Jesus, how to love Jesus, how to get to know Jesus, to serve Jesus, to obey Jesus, to be taught what he taught, and then to tell others about Jesus. It's about Jesus and learning and growing and loving. In Matthew chapter 28, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. I know it's not up on the screen on purpose.
Make disciples.
But you were thinking build the church or evangelize, which are all good. Make disciples. I meet with my mentor once every 3 weeks, and we sit together, and he disciples me. He mentors me. He helps me. As a church together, we should disciple each other. Every one of us should be discipled and should disciple someone else. We should all be making disciples together to be discipled and disciple others. It's that simple. Encouraging us in our relationship with Jesus. Now, when you think of a fig tree, what's the one instance in Jesus' life in the Gospels do you think of Jesus and a fig tree?
When he cursed it.
Okay. Is there another instance? Cool. Good. There's another great instance of Jesus and a fig tree. Not a real fig tree. He's telling a story. But go with me to Luke chapter 13. I love this story. So now he's going to give a news report, and he says, Luke chapter 13, verse 9, about this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. So, the Jewish people were offering sacrifices at the temple. Pilate, being the ruthless leader he is, the one who eventually crucified Jesus, even though he tried to wash his hands, he's still a guilty person, guilty party in it. But he killed a number of people in Galilee for offering sacrifices for God. They were doing their religious thing. Jesus asked the question, do you think that those Galileans are worse sinners than all the other people of Galilee? So what happens is, when there's a catastrophe, when there's an accident, we sometimes think, oh, they were dirty, rotten, filthy sinners, that's why they're dead. No, that's not what he's saying. Is that why they suffered? Not at all, Jesus says. And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Another news report that happened in another town, 18 people died when the tower fell over. Were they any worse sinners in Jerusalem? No, I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too. He's drawing a very hard line of saying, you know what, we need to live holy lives. We need to follow Jesus. We need to obey him. So then he goes on to this next story, verse 6. Then, right after he's talking about this, he goes, then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came back again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to the gardener, I've waited 3 years and there just hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. Wasn't producing fruit. Now, if you do research on figs, it should take about a year to 2 to 3. For sure by 3 years, you should have figs on a fig tree. Some figs can grow them faster, or fig trees can grow them faster, but by 3 years, you've got to have figs, or there's something terribly wrong with that fig tree. When we look over our lives, and this isn't, again, you know how I talk here. I'm not talking about guilt. Not guilt. When we look at our lives, introspection, how's our fruit? Again, this is not a guilt question because I'm moving along in this passage. Are we producing fruit? Are we impacting others? Are we encouraging others? Are we loving God and growing with Jesus? All those kinds of things. How's our personal growth? Next verse. Verse 8. The gardener answered, Sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year, and I will give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. I love that. Cut it down, the man said, the original owner. And the gardener says, No. Give me another chance. Give me another chance. Let me work on it for the next year. Let me fertilize it. And there's a number of things. Okay, how many of you grow shrubs? Okay, what are some of the things you need to do with shrubs? One is?
Water.
Okay, water. What else?
Fertilize.
Yeah. What else? Prune. What else? Yeah, planting in the right spot. Fig trees need 6 hours of sunlight a day. Okay. Anything else to grow a shrub or a fig tree or anything else? Water?
Making sure it's frost hardy in this area.
Yes, we are in the middle of winter. Well, it's going to minus one today. But yeah, we are in winter. Yes. Us to be able to make it, whatever it is. I had a fig tree. Remember that little fig tree? You think it was a fig. And finally, this isn't working, so I just snipped it, planted it in the ground. I think it was indoor, I don't know. And I planted it. I have a picture of it somewhere. And then the next spring, it started to came. It was only this tall. But it came. That's a weird thing. I forgot about that. Okay, so water, fertilize, prune it. Just work with it. Do you know that Jesus, with this point of discipling, just is like the gardener. Is the gardener. He just wants to work with us. He wants to water us. Yeah, sometimes we've got to be pruned. Ooh. But he's got to prune us. Because when you prune, what's the point of pruning? So the dead stuff goes off and all the proper nutrients go into the healthy branches. And we've got healthy branches in our life and we've got some not so good branches that need to be locked off. And then we get fertilized. Church, that's the point of church. Say, I am a fig tree. We're all fig trees. We're all meant to grow. We're all meant to produce fruit. We're all meant to be a healthy tree. And Jesus comes along and says, just be together. Let's not neglect being together. Let's be together and help each other, disciple each other, encourage each other, spur one another on to love and good deeds, and grow. And love Jesus. It actually doesn't get any more complicated than that. Can you say simple?
Simple.
So as a church, our invitation is to encourage each other to help us grow towards Jesus in all that we do. As we gather here, as we get together in a small church and in small groups, wherever we are, let me say one comment about it. Yeah, but I meet with a couple of my buddies at Tim Hortons. Sorry. Well, where two or three are gathered, Jesus is in our midst. Yeah, it's a fun time. But are you actually talking about Jesus? No, you don't have to have a Bible opened up in the middle of Tim Hortons and go, oh, you stand up and preach. No, that's not. But in your different times you get together, two or three, talking about all kinds of things. And that's great. But that's not church unless you're actually intentionally discipling and challenging and encouraging and motivating each other. That's church. We can get together for coffee. I love coffee, just like everyone else. Give me the coffee. But to be together. To be together and discipling and encouraging. That's what Jesus wants. So like I said last week, the church belongs to Jesus first and foremost. This church belongs to Jesus. And we are more than welcome to be in it. We're invited. We're all invited to be in the church. The church will always be on earth and in heaven. The church will always be, because the church is people. I know some of you are thinking, but I thought it was fig trees. Yeah. But the church and fig trees will be in heaven. Will always be. And then together as a church, we are here and there for each other. That's what it is. So, Cody, come on up. Let me encourage you again this week. Take some time with your Bible and pen, a journal, and think and pray about the church, about our church. What does Jesus want to say to you about you and the church? Let's stand together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this church. Jesus, I am really grateful for this church. For each person, it's a good church. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing in us as a body, and all that you're doing in each of our hearts. Jesus, we're just fig trees. Would you grow us, Jesus? Would you fertilize us? Would you water us? Would you prune us? Yeah. And would you just care for us? Thank you, Jesus. Now I was thinking about that little fig tree that I grew. I actually prayed over it. Maybe it's weird, but I really wanted this thing to grow. So after I trimmed it in the next spring, I literally put my hand on it and I said, Jesus, would you just grow this little fig tree or whatever it was? And it grew. It wasn't huge. It just grew. And I pray for us that Jesus would just grow each